We probably can make it like a maybe 2 or 3 weeks, maybe. But you need food. Eventually, you have to eat. And it's one of those essential things. This prayer is a reminder of what we need. Every morning, you probably wake up and you plan what you're going to eat for that, well, either right then for breakfast or for the day. You plan what you're going to eat. You see, we know our physical needs. These often turn us to prayer. I need a home, I need a job, a car, husband, wife. But do we remember our spiritual needs as well as our physical? Do we remember our spiritual needs as often as we remember to eat? Heaven and hell do exist. We need a Savior for our soul. As we look at this part of the Lord's Prayer, we are praying for essentials. This is typified by bread. Food is essential. As Jesus teaches us to pray, he knows we need food, and he teaches us to pray to ask for food and be reminded that we need Jesus. Now, I can't figure out if prayer before a meal, I mean, when we think of praying for bread, we often think of asking for thanks or saying grace before we eat. And is that praying for our daily bread? I can't figure out if it is or not. Maybe because looking at my dinner table, I'm thinking, well, I'm just thanking God for the food there. I'm not acknowledging that food is brought to me by him. And I can't figure that out exactly. Well, how often do we actually pray that God would give us daily bread? We pray when we are overwhelmed by tragedy, by chaos. We pray when we want something. Or do we pray for this fundamental request for bread? I pray you see that Jesus reminds us we have to have our physical needs met to live, and this points us to our spiritual need. And we can't meet any of our needs on our own, physical, spiritual. We need God in everything. So every time you eat, I pray you remember God gives food to live. But more than that, God gives you Jesus Christ to live eternally. And this line in the Lord's Prayer, I pray we recognize that we need God for absolutely everything and that we relish in him and in him alone. And I want to look at this Lord's Day 50 through 2 points of recognizing and relishing. We recognize we need God for everything and we relish in that need for him. Now, if you don't know what the word relish is, it means you take pleasure or joy in. Maybe you don't like relish on your hamburger or something, but don't let that distract you. Well, first we recognize here that we need God for everything. This line begins off with give. Now, this isn't a demanding command spoken by a dissatisfied customer who didn't get extra cheese on their cheeseburger. This request comes after God's glory. Oh, hallowed be thy name. Comes after God's kingdom. Your kingdom come. Comes after God's will. Your will be done on heaven as it is in earth, on earth as it is in heaven. And then we have this give. This request is not a disgruntled customer. God is of the most important here. This request shows we know where we stand with God, where it's lined up in the Lord's Prayer. He gives us what we need. So we are beggars coming to a great and mighty King, and we don't deserve anything, but we ask, please give us today what we need to live. And he is a great and mighty King, and we are beggars coming to him asking for more, but we are God's children, as we saw this morning through Jesus Christ. That's why we pray our Father. We are poor, helpless children coming to our Father and asking for bread. It's as though the milk is too high in the refrigerator and we have to ask for help to get it. We recognize we can't reach it. We ask, give us bread. Well, we have to recognize that God is working where we cannot work. There are two things to note there. First, we have to recognize that we are asking for our most basic needs. We're asking for bread. What do you need to survive? Jesus teaches us to ask for the staple. It's the simplest, most fundamental of needs, bread. We're not to ask for a spicy deluxe combo with Coke and fries. We're not to ask for air-conditioned seats, although when you get air-conditioned seats in one of the rentals, they're really nice. I really like air-conditioned seats. But we're asked for what we need to survive, the basics. Why? Well, it's recognizing who we depend on and how extensively we depend on him. He keeps us alive. And that is just amazing in itself. God cares about our hearts. God cares about our hips and our hands. The Lord's Prayer is split into two parts. You have the first part about God, of how to be thy name, the kingdom come, the will be done, God's glory, God's kingdom, God's will. And then you have the second part split up, and it's about us. And we have two spiritual needs. We have asked for forgiveness to keep us from temptation. But before those spiritual needs, we have that physical need. How amazing is it that God cares about us physically? He cares about our bodies. God cares about our health. God created us physical. We need food. We need sleep. We need shelter to survive. We are a soul and body, and God cares about both, and God cares greatly about both. God teaches us to ask for what is essential. He doesn't want us in despair to look elsewhere. He doesn't want us in abundance so that we don't look elsewhere. Both of these extremes can cause us to turn from God. There's a balance in that. Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9 shows us this. It says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God." You see, when our pantries are full and we have food on the table for breakfast, for second breakfast, for 11s, lunch, I don't know if you've watched Lord of the Rings, but catch it on that. We forget that we depend on God. This can potentially turn into a self-dependence. I don't need any help. I can meet my own needs. I'm fine on my own. Well, similarly, when we don't have food on our table, we can go and search in places besides God. We resort to stealing, cheating to put food on the table. This is a lack of trust that is the same self-dependence. I have to meet my own needs because no one else is. Or it can be just a discomfort. I want more and God's not giving it to me. Too much and not enough can both lead away from God. We tell ourselves that we can fill our own needs, or we have to fill our own needs. Jesus is saying, recognize to ask for what you need, not any more, not any less. Why is this? So that you do not turn away from the Lord. Pray, give us the necessities for body so that we recognize God to be the sole provider. And it says, daily bread. Give us what we need today. We're not to pray for a week's food. Hoarders ought to be ashamed. That's not to say that we don't prepare for winter, prepare for retirement. The focus is that we don't lose sight that God is the one providing. He asks us what we need, and we recognize that He is the one that gives us it. I am not the one that supplies my needs. When asking for our basic needs, we recognize that God is the one working and not us. We need Him for the fundamentals. Well, secondly, we are asking for what we cannot provide in our own strength. Now, isn't that humbling? Our most basic necessities, simple food like bread, needs to be given to us. How long can you last on the food in your pantry? This is a relevant Lord's Day to look at because Jesus is reminding us we need Him. All the food you have stored in your pantry without God is not going to get from that shelf to the dinner table. It's so easy to forget that now as we look at our pantries and see just a house full of food, or even the grocery stores just full of food, and all you have to do there is go pull it off a shelf and get it. It's so easy to forget that it is God that provides that. And when you come home from getting groceries, or at least when I come home from getting groceries, you bring all those bags in, you set them all on the counter, and when they're all spread out, I don't know if we go away for a whole summer, we come back, so there's no food in your house, so we have to resupply. So sometimes you come home with a big supply of groceries and it's all on the counter. All that food is just sitting out there in front of you, just waiting to be put away into the pantry, into the fridge, in the cupboards, oftentimes the second fridge. And I think back about myself. I have never thanked God at that point for giving me food. And why is that? I don't know. Maybe I'm spoiled. Maybe you're the same. Maybe you find yourself, you just never thank God at the grocery store. I'm seeing all that food in abundance. Looking at a full counter and we can thank God for. And when you think about where all that food came from, you think about corn and watermelon. Could have been just grown down the street. you know, oranges are grown in Florida. You have coffee grown in Colombia. Apples maybe in Mexico. Olive oil from Italy, if you get the expensive olive oil maybe. Or tea from India. A lot of the spices and stuff just come from India and Africa or Asia. Kiwis, New Zealand. I'm sure you have something in there that's from China. But all that food sitting on the counter is all from, it's from all over the world. You think of the, all the people involved in that. All the vehicles involved in moving it to where it gets eventually to your house. Just, well, think of the own, all the people involved in your vehicle, getting your vehicle to be able to move that from the grocery store to your house. What did I actually contribute into getting all that groceries? Why don't I thank God? There's no way I am responsible for what sits in front of me. As you have a counter full of groceries, I cannot grow, I can't even grow a garden very well. I can't make it rain. You have Job. Job acknowledges this himself. He says in Job 38, "Who has cleft a channel for the torrents of the rain and a way for the thunderbolts to bring rain on a land where no man is? Has the rain a father, or who has begotten the drops of dew? Who are we that we have assembled this food from all over the world to our table?" As you put away your groceries, thank God. Recognize that apart from God, there would be nothing before you. We have food for weeks in our pantries. What if we think about one event, one storm, one accident? This is all taken away from us. The Catechism says we ask God to meet our physical needs so that we see that God is the only source of everything good, and that neither our care and work nor our gifts can do us any good without His blessing. When we stare at a full counter of groceries, it's a gift from God. The Catechism points out that these gifts mean nothing unless God blesses them. And how true is that? We have material blessings coming out of our ears, groceries bursting from our fridges. We can have good health, good jobs, good families, friends, but all this means nothing unless God blesses them, unless God blesses us. Maybe you can think of someone you work with, you spend days with them, you work the same hours at the same job as them. Maybe somebody you go to school with, same classes, you look at this person you work with and they're breezing through life. They're at peace. At least maybe they're at peace outwardly. Or maybe it's the other way around. They're struggling, they're anxious, and you appear the one that's at peace. You appear steadfast. What's the difference? Well, perhaps it's God that's working. He's giving blessings. Psalm 127 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go to late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep." He gives His beloved peace, rest. Now, this blessing isn't that you just don't worry. It's a much deeper, peace and rest. It's found in the prayer. The prayer that we just have before us. "Father, give us this day our daily bread," and we rest knowing our Father will give. He is the giver. It's not left up to our hard work, our wisdom, and our wits. We are dependent upon Him, and we rest knowing that eternity, we're in His hands for eternity. How else can we explain Paul being content with the abundance and in poverty of Philippians 4 that he talks about? It's because God gives him strength. God gives him contentment. Jesus is teaching us to depend on Him here. This is exactly what a child can ask of a father. Of all people, a child has more right to go to her father to ask for food to live. Jesus is saying here, remember every time you eat that God is giving you life. God is giving you life right now, but God will give you eternal life. He is the one sustaining you. And it's more than just physical. He's given you the very status that places you under God's amazing grace. Through Jesus' own blood, He has raised our eyes beyond this world, and we're looking to His kingdom, His will on earth and in heaven. And we pray for God to give us bread each day. We are reminded that we rest in God's hands, physically and eternally. We look to heaven. And as we pray for God to give us bread each day, we are reminded that we rest in God's hands physically and eternally. And I, as we pray to ask God to give us our daily bread, that's assuming that we pray that God would give us our basic needs. And this turns us to our second point, relish in God alone who holds our trust. To relish in God means to delight, means to enjoy, take pleasure, satisfaction, and contentment in Him. And we can do this because we pray, give us this daily bread, and we recognize our Father gives us exactly that. But more than just daily bread here on earth, physically, gives us our daily bread eternally. And physically as well. I mean, we look to an eternity where we are bodies. We are physical bodies where He will supply us with everything that we need. See, we have no problem thinking materially, caring for our bodies. And that's why this prayer has this, I would say, in this. Because we were created materially. That's how we were created to think, to function, to live. We have to eat. We have to sleep every day. We feel pain, pleasure daily. God says, let these be a reminder that God is the only source of everything good. So when you have a good meal, God is the one that gives that to you. So it makes sense that the material points to the eternal, where it will be, the eternity will be a material and physical, perfectly mixed, perfectly combined together. God says, pray to me so that you recognize that everything comes from me. Recognize that your wit, strength, and industry mean nothing unless God works. Every day you have to sustain yourself with food and water. Every time you do this, recognize God sustains you. Then as the catechism says, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in God alone. We withdraw from trusting in our good jobs, in our strength, in our business smarts, in our family, because they don't always provide. They will not always provide. They don't give us unfailing hope. We relish in the trust of our Father, whose name, kingdom, and will extend throughout eternity. We relish in His working and nothing else, because nothing else is eternal as He is. Nothing else has certainty as God the Father. We can take pleasure, joy, and comfort in Him. We live in a comfort-driven world, a world that is navigated by one's pleasures, but often the case is that is a physical pleasure. We want air conditioning in the summer. We want heat in the winter. I mean, we kind of have to have heat in the winter, but we want king-size beds, en suites, our caramel vanilla lattes with steamed almond milk on the way to work with no traffic. And we want this for the rest of our lives. We want to be comfortable. When we come to expect these things, when they're gone, then we get uncomfortable. Then we maybe turn to God. Well, Jesus says, don't get caught up in these physical comforts. Realize that just the basic needs is what you have to pray for me for. Everything. I will give you what you need, bread. And remember, on your own strength, you couldn't even provide that. But I supply it. And relish in this. Relish in the certainty of this. Relish in the fact that you can not support yourself. Our inability and weakness to supply our physical needs points us to rest on God for eternity. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2 says. Our sin separated us from God, and now our bodies die. And we were spiritually dead. We were unable to be with the living God. Rather, we deserved God's wrath, Ephesians 2 verse 3 says. That's what hell is God's wrath. That's what we deserved. So physically and spiritually, we were dead with no hope on our own. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. God made us alive. And this is what we are to relish and enjoy. The God who supplies our needs reminds us that we will be with Him in heaven for eternity. With Him in the heavenly places, Ephesians 2 says. That's what we relish in. Well, in closing here, we live in a world where we can be distracted by pleasure, we can be distracted by comforts. And Jesus points us just to the basics. You see, often when we get pulled away, when we get pulled to God, it's because we've lost those comforts. But God is saying, you need to go deeper than that. even just having bread, crumbs each day, that is God providing for you. But he's given you more than that. He's given you way more than that. Take pleasure in him. Relish in the abundance that he's given us. The amazing things that this world has to offer, the varieties of food to eat, just the beauty of the mountains. As I come here from the Midwest, it's kind of boring there. You think of the world, what the world has, oceans, and the beauty of sex within marriage. There is no end to what this world has in beauty for our human minds. But this all points to something greater, to something way more permanent, something way more beautiful, to God our Father, the creator of it all. And as the Catechism says, we can withdraw our trust from all creatures and worldly pleasures and have certainty and trust in God because of Jesus. God's Son denied himself the comforts of this world to bring us to the Father. Jesus denied himself a pleasure-filled life. He was a man of sorrows, filled with grief. He was despised and rejected by men. He was hung from a cross alone. As he hung there, he had no bread, no water, no shelter, none of the necessities of life. And he died carrying our sin, rejected even by God, even though he never had sinned. And this was so that we could be adopted as God's children. Our sin nailed Christ to the cross, and Jesus draped his perfect righteousness, perfect life over us, so that when the Father looks at us, our sin is punished and we are clothed with Jesus' righteousness. We are God's children. Jesus teaches us to ask our Father for bread each day because he will supply us with so much more. He teaches us to rely on him for everything, whether it's a spoonful of Cheerios or a forkful of steak filet mignon. Is that the best cut? I think it's the best cut, but maybe that's just a personal choice. Recognize that God satisfies our stomachs, but that he satisfies our longing for eternity. Relish in this. Take pleasure in our God. And how? Well, this text is a prayer. It's just a short little section in a prayer, one of the lines in a prayer. So pray, pray, pray. Ask God to supply our most basic needs physically and spiritually. When you have a counter full of food, recognize that it's from God and he has blessed you, not just with food, but with Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, conquering sin, conquering your sin. And relish in him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks that we are not left on our own, that we live in a world that is full of things, and we may be overcome by it all, and we may be distracted by it all, but Lord, help us to realize that we need you. As we wake up in the morning and our mouths are dry, maybe as we go for a hike, we come back and our mouths are dry, we long for some food. Lord, may we recognize that we need you to supply that. But we need you more and more to give us life eternal. We pray this, and we can relish in praying this because we know that you will answer our prayers because we are your children, because we began this prayer off with our Father. We pray this through Jesus' name. Amen.